Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1899, Harbison Farm Revex LLC.
This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MR medium density residential district and an AR1 agricultural residential district to a B2 business community district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Bradco 100 Sussex County containing 0.8016 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the east side of Harbison Road, Route 5, approximately 0.44 miles south of Lewis Georgetown Highway, Route 9. The 911 address is 18865 Harbison Road, Harbison. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 30, Parcel 131.01, and it's a portion of that parcel. Staff note received the results of the service level evaluation, which did not require a TIS. There's an exhibit booklet and a staff analysis, and we also have comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and the Sussex Conservation District. Thank you.
We thank you. Mr. Hutt.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Wheatley, members of the Planning Commission and staff and council. As you know, it's unusual for this body to meet on Tuesday. I think it's almost equally unusual. I couldn't think of a hearing that I've attended where you have two distinct applications that relate. The tax map that she just went to is right below the one that she was just at. So we haven't moved very far in the geographic area of Sussex County to consider tonight's application. For the record, my name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney with the Georgetown office of Morris James. This evening I am representing Harbison Farm Revex LLC, and with me tonight is one of its principals, Kay Dukes, sitting to my left and your right. Tonight's application seeks to rezone approximately 35,000 square feet, which is 8/10 of an acre, and Ms. Cornwell is sort of outlining with the cursor the area, which is right along Route 5 there, where the change of zone application applies. The property is currently split zoned. The majority of it is zoned MR, right along Route 5, and the last 32 feet of tonight's application is zoned AR1, as you can see on the screens around the room. The bulk of the property is zoned AR1, but the majority of the lot that is the subject of tonight's application is part of the yellow or the MR zoning classification. The requested zoning change for this property is B2. As you know, and we just heard, the property is located approximately 1/2 mile south of the intersection of Route 5 or Harbison Road and Route 9, the Lewis Georgetown Highway. This intersection is well known for many reasons. For many, many years, those of us who travel back and forth along that road knew that it was one of the primary delay points as you were trying to get from Georgetown to the beach. In addition, you know, at any time you were at that intersection that somebody tried to make a left-hand turn, traffic just stacked up in either of the east-west directions. I think it's equally well known because, unfortunately, due to the prior configuration of the intersection, the church could never keep the brick wall that surrounded the graveyard standing. For whatever reason, that seemed to be a frequent target of vehicles that left the road. Hopefully, with the changes that and the widening of the intersection, that will change. I know that my own personal experience, the improvements have benefited quite a bit. It's not a delay point like it used to be when you make the journey between Georgetown and the beach areas. And to date, you know, knock on wood for the church and the cemetery there, I don't think anybody has damaged the wall recently. One of the other primary changes to this intersection that occurred as part of that widening, I think it's coincidental, but as during that process, as you know, the new Royal Farms was constructed on the site. Prior to the construction of the Royal Farms, what was there before, and it was just mentioned during the last public hearing, but the building and structures that were there before were demolished, and those buildings included a gas station, a convenience store, a small deli, a Tupperware store of all things, and then the United States Postal Service had its Harbison location in that little collection of storefronts. The post office has been looking for a new location, and if this site is as part of this change of zone, this would be the site that they would choose to put the new Harbison post office at. As you can see in looking at this tax map, this 8/10 of an acre is part of a larger 10-acre parcel. In fact, the parcel that you see outlined in yellow is owned by, of course, Harbison Farm Revex. The parcel that looks just like it to the south is also owned by Harbison Farm Revex, as is the piece that comes in to the middle of those. So all three of those parcels are owned by Harbison Farm Revex. The piece that is right in the middle and right along Route 5 is owned by the Lawson family. And that is the same family that owns Lawson's, which is the place where you can get mulch and decorative stone and other landscaping type items, which is just north of this proposed location. Originally, the thought process in this change of zone application was to file to change the zoning classification to C3. And I won't go through much about C3 because you just had a lengthy discussion about the C3 zoning district. But if you look at the service level evaluation request and response that was filed, you would see that the application was for a C3 zoning, a change of zone to C3. After the response came back from the service level evaluation request, and in looking through various sections of the Sussex County Code, one of the newer commercial zoning classifications that the county has stood out as being almost directly applicable to this property in this location. And that is why the request tonight is for a change of zone to the B2 Business Community District. The stated purpose, which I will read a portion of here in a second, squarely meets the intended use of this property, as well as the area, the geographic Harbison area in which this lot is located. The purpose is to provide primarily for office, retail, shopping, and personal service uses to be developed either as a unit or an individual parcel to serve the needs of a relatively small area, primarily nearby rural, low density, or medium density residential neighborhoods. That seemed to fit purposely the exact purpose of a post office and, of course, the Harbison area. The post office use would be similar to the permitted use that's office or personal service, but of course, one of the other permitted uses in that zoning district is a governmental facility, which is what the United States Postal Service is. Of course, the Harbison area is a relatively small area as well. It is rural in character. There are a few neighborhoods that surround it. You have the trails of Beaver Creek, the meadows of Beaver Creek, and of course the houses along Route 5 and Route 9 and other smaller type neighborhoods. And that's how we're all familiar with how the post office works, and in larger municipalities, there are larger post offices, and then as you get into the more rural areas, there are smaller locations and almost satellite offices, as it were, of those things. As mentioned at the outset, the property is presently split zoned, and you can see that split zoning on the screens around the room as you look. There are other numerous zoning classifications in this area. You can see the gray on the left-hand side of the screen, which is of course heavy industrial, which is the Allen Harim facility. If we were to move out a little bit, you would of course pick up the uses along Route 9, which are commercial uses. You have C1, CR1 along Route 9. So within this this area of Harbison, you have a significant amount of AR ground, but of course some medium density as well as commercial type uses, which again fits well with the stated purpose in the zoning code of the B2 zoning district. The future land use map that was just discussed again at some length in the last public hearing, we fall within a very similar area. As was discussed, the portion that's MR is in an existing development district, and the balance of the property is in a rural area. And if you were to look at the table that's in your future land use map, you would see, similar to the stated purpose for the B2 zoning district, that the B2 zoning district is one of those that applies in the rural low density areas in Sussex County, which again is one of the reasons why, contrary or different from what was filed in the service level evaluation, the change of zone application was changed from C3 to B2. The 2015 Delaware State Strategies map identifies this property as being in an investment level 3 area. Route 5, which on which the property fronts and on which its access is located, is a major collector. So while this is a rural or semi-rural area, this facility would be located along one of the more significant roadways in Sussex County with shoulders, and of course the entrance would have to be improved for a use of this nature. The lot area meets all the height, area, and bulk requirements found in Sussex County's zoning code for the B2 zoning classification. And while a change of zone, I've heard Mr. Wheatley say at many meetings, is not a site plan analysis, there is a rough site plan that's included as tab 6 in the exhibit notebooks that was that were handed out or filed with the county previously. And as you would imagine, the United States Postal Service has a fairly distinct set of plans it has for particular sites and particular neighborhoods, so it was relatively easy for a surveyor to take their standard set of plans and place it over this 8/10 of an acre. The plan would be for currently is for on-site water and septic service. It's my understanding that Artesian is busy in this area, and so that may be short-lived. It may be that water and wastewater are very shortly handled by Artesian in this area. In summary, this change of zone, as I mentioned, is appears and is our position is a near perfect fit for the B2 zoning classification, one of the newer ones within the county, as it is a small business or government office and is intended to serve this rural or semi-rural area. For all of these reasons, Harbison Farm RevX would ask that the Planning Commission make a recommendation to County Council to change the zoning classification for this 8/10 of an acre of land to the B2 zoning district. I'm certainly ready, and as is Ms. Dukes, to answer any questions that the commission may have.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Hutt. We'll see if there's anyone with any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
I don't
know. Ms. Tropkin?
No questions.
Ms. Wingate?
I have none.
No questions? Here. Staff on this end?
No, for me.
None, thank you.
Okay.
None, thank you.
None for me.
It's sort of disappointing, but all right.
We can come up with something.
I don't want to disappoint you, but... it's not over yet, so take a seat nearby because someone else might have something to say about your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1899, Harbison Farm RevX LLC? In favor, yes ma'am, come on up. Are you the postmaster or?
I am not.
but
my name
is
Corinne Elliott Adkins. I'm a native Sussex County, born and raised in this area.
Okay.
My husband and I live in Harbison. We've been there for 31 years. I actually have family who farmed in that area.
Okay.
We miss our post office dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, the United States Postal Service wanted to put a little trailer, I guess, out on Route 9.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who have lived in this area know how the traffic patterns have changed a lot more, and I am fully in support of getting our post office back in Harbison in a safe area. There are still people, believe it or not, who could walk to that post office who may need to, but I'd just like to thank you for I guess offering this land or whatever the deal was that we could get our post office back in Harbison.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just want to remind you that this is a change of zone. This is not a granting of a post office.
I know there's that's the impetus behind it.
There are many other uses that could take place and if this zoning request is granted. So hopefully it'll be a post office. But it could be a lot of other things. But thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1899? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is Ordinance 19-7, Manufactured Homes.
This is...
Oh, go ahead. You do all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County. Chapter 115, Articles 4, 25, 26, and 27 by amending Sections 115-20, 115-23, 115-187, 115-196, and 115-210 regarding manufactured homes and manufactured housing. What staff is looking to do, we provided a memo regarding the ordinance. We're looking to provide some clarification on manufactured homes, typically within the AR1 zoning district. There's some contradictions within the zoning district. We'd like to amend the ages of the mobile homes that can be currently placed. Currently, if you're going to place a new home, it has to be it can't be more than 5 years old. The proposal is to take it from 5 years to 10 years. So if you're going to place a mobile home, it could go back, be as old as 10 years. Currently, to place a mobile home in the AR1 zoning district has to be on 3/4 acre of land, which is the minimum lot size. However, we have a number of lots that exist within the AR1 zoning district that are less than 3/4 acre, which would not permit a manufactured home to be placed on it. So this would allow a manufactured home to be placed on any existing parcel within the AR1 zoning district, unless it falls into a coastal area subdivision or an existing subdivision, because that is where it would be prohibited, and that is currently the case as of today. We also wanted to clarify, and we think this would also ease up some applications to the Board of Adjustment. It would reduce confusion for applications. So that's what we're looking to do regarding manufactured homes.
Okay. Is there anything in regard to the size or the width or the foundation construction that will change?
No.
And what is it now? Just so that
the minimum size is 450 square feet is the minimum size for a manufactured home.
Okay.
But one of the things, kind of along those same lines, is what we're looking to recognize that manufactured homes are built to higher standards now than they were, say, 20 or 30 years ago. That's one of the reasons we went from 5 to 10 years. The other thing is, you know, we don't want people to get jammed up on not being able to replace their homes either. When we had this introduced, Ms. Cronin did a really good job of explaining. It's a jump in if I'm wrong, but if you have a single section manufactured home, you can replace that with a single section. A single section may be replaced with a multi-sectional manufactured home, and a multi-sectional manufactured home may be replaced by itself a multi-sectional manufactured home, but you can't go the other way. You can't go from multi down to single. You know, so you can go up but not down.
Empty lot, empty half-acre lot, what can go there?
As of today, a stick-built home. With this ordinance, they could put a multi-sectional home not more than 10 years old on the property.
But it would have to be a multi.
Correct. And that's the current code.
Right.
If there's any vacant land, you could place a multi-sectional.
And it will be on a block foundation?
It would have to comply. It has to be set properly. Our inspectors are certified in manufactured home placement. It has to be placed by a licensed manufactured home placement contractor. Has to meet all the building code requirements. Has to be skirted. Has to meet all of the normal code requirements for a manufactured home.
But it doesn't have to be on a block foundation?
It depends on where it's set, because it's sometimes in the flood plain, you can actually put them on pilings.
Oh, well, okay. All right. Fair enough.
They exist?
I understand. I know. My only concern with any of this is that it is going to be perceived, could be perceived in the minds of some as being a property value issue, that the existence of a manufactured home next to a stick-built home, depending on what the location and the restrictions would be, could have a detrimental effect on the value of the adjacent properties. But from what I hear you saying, it looks like the construction details and all that are the same as they are now.
It's just that we're just going to allow them on any AR lot instead of just a 3/4 acre lot.
Correct.
Okay.
And they can be slightly older than.
Correct. And I get that, and I don't disagree with that. I think they are built to higher standards than they were years ago.
And we do recognize if you have like a 1969 lot manufactured home that's on the property, you just have to replace it with a 1970.
Right.
It's just for the new ones. That there's never been a manufactured home, then it can be 10 years old. But if you already have one that's existed,
right.
Again, you just have to replace it with a year newer.
Okay.
Really?
Correct.
Okay, because it was the 1980s when they started with the, when the, I actually know an awful lot about manufactured houses.
Well, enlighten us.
In the 1980s, they started, the rule became that it had to meet a performance standard. So that a manufactured home had to prove that it could hold up to certain things. So it's not just built to an arbitrary building code, it's built to a standard and they had to prove that it would actually do what it said. And
right.
It has to be pretty tough to actually ride down the road.
Right.
So, my only question on this is why we're not allowing single wides anywhere.
Single wides are permitted, they're permitted in GR, which is perfectly fine, and they are allowed in manufactured home parks. The code has never allowed single wides within the AR1 zoning district. That is something you can discuss.
I would think that would be in line with our goals of providing chances for more affordable housing in the county.
I agree with that.
I agree too.
That's certainly something we can take up. We could. Yeah, and so it's not in here, so adding that, we can't add that into this ordinance just because of statutory construction requirements. But if you're inclined to act on it regardless, act favorably on it or whatever, you could certainly make that part of your recommendation that county council explore that as well.
Yeah.
So back to Bob's comment about the foundations. I'm a big advocate of an entire block foundation. I just think it makes the place last a lot longer. But is that I'm not an authority on it though.
Well, I think it does a couple things. I think it's certainly a permanent foundation, and this speaks to this issue of the appearance and the effect on surrounding property values. If a double wide mobile home properly constructed on a block foundation really looks like a stick built home, or like it could have been a stick built home, okay? And I think the pushback on the single wides is going to come from that. When you see a single wide, there is no doubt what it is, okay? And I think there are members of the public who are going to be concerned about that becoming something that could, be put anywhere for fear that it's going to affect the value of the property.
So the current code reads that it is permanently mounted on a solid foundation or pure foundation system and anchored in each case in accordance with the manufacturer installation instructions. That is the current code.
So then you don't need, so then you wouldn't have skirting then, right?
Well,
no, it's going to have to be skirted.
It
has to be skirted.
It's going to have to have skirting of some kind. If it doesn't have block or it's not a board foundation,
But when you say block, is it continue? It's a continuous block, or is it like when you set up a trailer?
It depends on the manufacturer's installation requirements, because depending on the size, the weight, it's going to depend on the foundation that is required for that type of mobile home. Different mobile homes require different foundations, but they all have to meet our code requirements. They're all going to be set properly, they're going to be anchored, they're going to be tied down, and they're going to be skirted. And that section of code is not changing.
So it could be piers, depending on what the manufacturers are. It could be a full foundation.
Mm-hmm. Skirting.
Okay, any other questions here? All right, for anyone here that would that has an interest in ordinance number 19-7, manufactured homes, that would like to speak. Yes, sir.
Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road. Simple question that seemed to just got sidetracked. which ain't being changed. But when you see the brick footing around the mobile home, all it is cosmetic. It doesn't even touch, I don't even believe it touches the outside underneath the trailer. So it's just whether you have brick, the bricks running around, or skirting, it's irrelevant. It's strictly all cosmetic. It's not there for structure or anything that I've seen on them. Basically, the first thing that I wanted to bring up is on line 40, where is it? It was, I believe it's 4041, that you're removed, prohibited, you're removing, the lot is not within a major subdivision created, and date of the section, then you're removing, or is not specifically prohibited by recorded covenants. I assume the recorded covenants are the same as deed restrictions. All the boards have different opinions on whether deed restrictions are considered, not considered, or what they are. County Council, in a recent case, the deed restrictions, I believe, inherited the denial of the application. I believe the same was on the planning and zoning, that the application got denied because the deed restriction was there. I don't know, is what I don't want the county to do is issue a permit for something where the lot may have a deed restriction on it or a covenant somehow, and have the director of planning just make an arbitrary decision that it's not our county's thing, we're not this part of the county, we're not enforcing deed restrictions or something like that. We're going to go sideways on it. I had it with another issue with an administrative variance that I believe it overrode my deed restrictions. So I believe that originally the recorded deed restrictions, I'd like to know why it was originally basically put in there. If I'm at least partially correct, if I'm partially correct in that it gives it to do it and let the buyer go against whoever put the deed restrictions or take it out. My opinion is if there's covenants, go to court, get them removed first, then do it correctly. Through this ordinance, you go through it. I'm only going to hit a couple things for this one. County Council coming up, I can deal with the rest. I was running late today. When you're getting down into the special use exceptions, the other special use exceptions, the numbering is off. I don't know whether this, how, what code this is wrote off of, but this all was changed because on line 160, this is just one of them, the convalescent nursing home was removed from the special use exceptions a while ago, so the numbers are going to shift up on the ones going forward. It's just, I don't know whether that's just in the time frame from us adopting ordinances and then waiting so long to get it changed, or our programs aren't correct. But if I'm correct, that should be out of there.
Yeah, I think that's just a timing issue, but we can, you know, when council adopts the final version, if they act favorably on it, we can make that.
Okay, so you can do that. Now, also, too, in the same thing coming down, because this one, I believe, has another deletion in the 115.210, too, under Board of Adjustment again, I believe. Can you also, too, go and take care of, when you're removing a convalescent, take care of that other issue with that one on this, too, that should have been taken out in the first one, or does that have to come in for another ordinance?
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah. Still hangs out in the...
No, I know. That's, if it's been deleted, that's just a clerical fix. It's just moving parts is what we're dealing with.
Okay, 210.
210, yeah, no, I just was wondering which line you were talking about.
To take care of that. Also, too, is with, to get back to the year thing, where it was 5, gone to 10. With the arbitrary number of saying what somebody can replace, if you have one house that has a 2000 here, the next house has a 1980, then there's a lot in the middle has to come in with a 10-year one, that'll be so much newer, vice versa, in it. Is there anything as far as, especially what Mrs. Stevens started referring to, with different codes, different construction, did something change 5 years ago? Did something change 10 years ago that you may want to look at that stronger? Was there a major code issue change? Was something done structurally in the development of it that you may want to say that if you're looking at going back 10 years, back to 2009, did something change maybe in 8 or 7 and 6 that you definitely don't even want to go farther back into? Was there a major structure change that you want to alleviate somebody bringing another trailer that wouldn't come in under the same qualifications, because it's arbitrarily whether you take it from 5 to 10 or 15 or whatever. But the other thing that I would like to know is anything else from reading it, basically, anything else coming out of the Board of Adjustment purview for special use exceptions? I mean, the under 5 acres, if that's removed from the special use exceptions, does that now pull it completely away from Board of Adjustments decisions and alleviate them from seeing them?
Correct.
So that goes directly back where we want it to go into, okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Anyone else have an interest in speaking this evening on this issue? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions? Having none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening and see if we make a decision. Sure. Or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is ordinance number 19-8, construction trailers. Wow.
This one's going to be fun to read. An ordinance amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Articles 4, 5, 8, 10, 10A, 10B, 10, or 11B, 11C, 11D, 11E, 11F, 13, 14, and 15 by amending sections 115-21, 115-30, 115-54, 115-70, 115-75.3, 115-75.10, 115-83.12, 115-19, 115-83.27, 115-83.34, 115-83.41, 115-95, 115-104, 115-112, and Table 4 regarding the use of manufactured home type structures as temporary buildings, incidental construction operations, or the sale of lots. We're looking.
Did you study that in college?
No. That's the first time I've actually read that.
No, I mean getting out
of the fast. Now working for auction
work. Good.
Thank you. So what the intent is, currently manufactured homes used as construction trailers or model homes require a special use exception to the Board of Adjustment. What we're looking to do is make that an administrative process, just so we know where they are. If they're going to, you know, typically there for a year, maybe less. You do have some construction projects that go on longer, but so just let the, it would be up to the director to recognize if it needs to be there longer, then we, the director could then approve that, but not to require a public hearing and notification for a construction trailer or, you know, a manufactured home type structure used as a model home. That's the intent of this code.
It's for sales and also for construction use, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions?
Nope.
What constitutes a construction trailer? Another, here, let me make it easier. My question is a little clear. What about the stores, containers and storage trailers?
Is it a manufactured home type structure?
No.
So you're talking about like just...
So that's the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because yeah. Right now the code requires any manufactured home type structure used as a construction trailer. But you're just talking about storage, like for equipment.
Like a Connex thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Or trailer. Set up.
Okay. No. Yeah, but they're not constructed manufactured homes.
So this is
keep moving.
It's regarding a manufactured home type structure that's used as a construction trailer or an office.
Yeah, hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know about.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions except Mr. Hopkins?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. Is there anyone here with an interest in ordinance number 19-8 that would like to speak? Okay. Anyone else have any questions? Anyone on the commission? Last call. Okay then. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we'll make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.